Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Bust it.
So today, the United States launched a trade war against Canada, their closest partner and ally, their closest friend. At the same time, they're talking about working positively with Russia, appeasing Vladimir Putin, a lying, murderous dictator. Make that make sense.
Yeah, it's not a lot of times when I wake up and think to myself, how can I find common ground with Justin Trudeau? But here we are. Yeah.
Canadians are reasonable and we are polite, but we will not back down from a fight.
He rhymed.
Not when our country and the well-being of everyone in it is at stake.
I will tell you that my sense of the tone from Justin Trudeau was that as the announcement of the tariffs, the 25% tariffs, is they're really worried. They're really scared about the impact of this on their economy. This is bad for them. It's way worse for them than it is for us, right? And you could tell, which makes sense. I mean, they're a much smaller country, you know, GDP, population, of course. I mean, it's a pretty big country geographically, but it's a pretty small country population-wise and GDP-wise.
Canada will be implementing 25% tariffs against $155 billion worth of American goods, starting with tariffs on $30 billion worth of goods immediately and tariffs on the remaining $125 billion of American products in 21 days' time.
Yeah, and lots of stuff, you know, oil, which we get a lot of oil from them. That's going to be a problem for us because it means increased gas prices. Cars, the auto stuff has been paused for a month. But, you know, liquor, obviously. I was surprised from Mexico. We actually get, what was the number, 20%, 18%, something like that of our alcohol comes from Mexico. I was really surprised by that. That seems like a ridiculously high number. Canada's the largest exporter of meat to the U.S., we get a lot of beef, apparently, from them, so that's interesting. Although now Canada has slapped a tariff on us exporting beef to Canada or to China, so we're not taking in beef from Canada, which we don't need anymore because we're not exporting beef to China. All these things are very confusing to me. 77% of fresh vegetables get imported from Mexico, 11% imported from Canada. We get electricity. There's places around the border that actually get their electricity from Canada, Minnesota, Michigan, and New York. So they're going to be affected by this. Like I said, alcohol as well. But back to Justin Trudeau's comments, they're slapping reciprocal or, you know, retaliatory tariffs against us, which is very normal in this situation.
We will also be
challenging these illegal actions by filing dispute resolution claims at the World Trade Organization and through the USMCA.
That's an interesting note. That's not something I've really heard many people say. What did Trump say about the trade deals that we have with Mexico and Canada on the campaign trail? What has he said on the campaign trail? These deals written by stupid poopy heads. You know, people who are obviously idiots about, you know, who authored the trade deal that currently governs U.S. policy with regards to Mexico and Canada? I'll give you a hint. The acronym for the policy is the USMCA, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement. I'll give you another hint. It came into effect in 2018. Who was president from 2016 to 2017 to 21? President Trump. President Trump is the author of the USMCA that he is now saying was the dumb poopy head trade deal that replaced NAFTA. Okay, just you gotta remember your history a little bit. Anyway, okay, so Canada's scared, and they're worried, and they think this is a terrible idea, and they're right. Justin Trudeau directly addressing the United States people, me, you, you know, him, I don't know.
Just like I did a month ago, I want to speak first directly to the American people. We don't want this. We want to work with you as a friend and ally. And we don't want to see you hurt either. But your government has chosen to do this to you.
Yeah, that's right. And the premise of the thing is really bad. We'll get to that in a second.
Your government has chosen to put American jobs at risk, at the thousands of workplaces that succeed because of materials from Canada or because of consumers in Canada or both. They've chosen to raise costs for American consumers on everyday essential items like groceries and gas, on major purchases like cars and homes, and everything in between.
Oh, yeah, lumber. That was the other one. That's another one that's going to really be bad for the construction industry because we already have prices that are too low on construction. Yeah, no. I mean, that's why they were buying stuff in advance.
Let me be crystal clear. There is absolutely no justification or need whatsoever for these tariffs today.
He's right. We'll come back to the why in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands. That's expert installation, 24/7 support. That's GeneratorSource.com. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are actually looking good this morning, seeing some delays if you're headed northbound on Highway 29 just north of 9 Mile. But other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So the trade war that the Trump administration has started with Mexico and China and Canada and the rest of the world through steel and aluminum, why? What's the reason given? Well, if you read the White House's publications on this matter, it's simple: to stop fentanyl coming over the border. Now, not in the publication, but in the statements are also about, you know, terrorist organizations. And if you think about it, like, the border with Canada is pretty porous. Are we getting fentanyl from Canada? No. The answer is no. Now, not no as in zero, but no as in not very much.
Now, the legal pretext your government is using to bring in these tariffs is that Canada is apparently unwilling to help in the fight against illegal fentanyl. Well, that is totally false. Let's look at the facts. Our border is already safe and secure. Far less than 1% of fentanyl flows and less than 1% of illegal crossings into the United States comes from Canada. But we acted because we know we can always do better.
That's correct. In 1 year, in 2024, 21,900 pounds of fentanyl seized at the southern border. You want to take a guess on how much seized on the northern border? 43 pounds.
Wait, you forgot the thousand part.
Nope.
Okay.
22,000 pounds from Mexico, 43 pounds from Canada. Well, that's because they're not enforcing it. Okay. Okay. All right. We don't heavily police the Canadian border. You're right. So they put some changes into place when Trump started threatening this, and they made some changes.
And critically, our actions are working. As the U.S. states, as the U.S. Customs and Border Protection just acknowledged, there was a 97% drop in fentanyl seizures from January compared to December, to a near zero low of less than half an ounce seized in January, even with all the further enforcements and actions we've taken at the border.
So now it's 22,000 pounds from Mexico and half an ounce from Canada, but definitely put 25% tariffs on Canada to stop the half an ounce from coming in. No, that's where we're at. That's what's going on. So he then addresses Trump directly.
Now I want to speak directly to one specific American. Donald, in the over 8 years you and I have worked together, we've done big things. We signed a historic deal that has created record jobs and growth in both of our countries.
That's true.
Now, it's not in my habit to agree with the Wall Street Journal, but Donald, they point out that even though you're a very smart guy, this is a very dumb thing to do.
And the one person who wants it most?
We two friends fighting is exactly what our opponents around the world want to see.
Now, he doesn't mean opponents. He means opponent. Some guy who lives, let's say, north and east of Ukraine. Okay? So they're worried. It's going to suck for them a lot. It's going to suck for us a little by comparison. I mean, you know, we can adapt. It's not as bad for us. So why is it happening? Why is Trump lying about things that are related to Canada? Why is he lying about the bank? I mean, just about everything he says about Canada is false. It's weird.
I think in terms of what he wants, I heard he talked about banking again this morning in a tweet.
Yeah, he says that, you know, isn't it amazing that American banks aren't allowed to operate in Canada? False. Just total fiction. 100% false.
Doesn't make any sense because American banks, there's about 16 American banks currently active in Canada holding about $113 billion worth of assets in this country. So the American banks are alive and well and prospering in Canada.
Functioning under the same rules that Canadian banks function, like completely false. Why is he saying it? The fentanyl thing is completely false. So what's he trying to do? Well, I don't know. But when there's not an obvious answer, when the answers or explanations given don't make sense or run contrary to the facts, then you got to think of weird explanations. What has Trump said about Canada in the last 2 months? He wants the Panama Canal back. He wants Greenland. And he has jokingly, not jokingly, referred to Canada as the 51st state. He wants to acquire Canada. He doesn't like the trade imbalance with Canada, which he lies about the size of it. Okay, it's not as big as he says, and it's not a subsidy for Canada. That's not accurate either. So what is he trying to do? Justin Trudeau?
So we actually have to fold back on the one thing he has said repeatedly, that what he wants is to see a total collapse of the Canadian economy. Because that'll make it easier to annex us, is the second half of his thought. Now, first of all, that's never going to happen. We will never be the 51st state.
Well, time will tell.
But yeah, he can do damage to the Canadian economy, and he's started this morning. But he is rapidly going to find out, as American families are going to find out, that that's going to hurt people on both sides of the border. Americans will lose jobs. Americans will be paying more for groceries, for gas, for cars, for homes, because we have always done best when we work together.
See, when it comes to the tariff on Mexico as incentive to work on controlling the drug trade, you can make sense of it. Yes, restricting access to our markets for fentanyl or other illegal drugs that kill 70, 80, 100,000 people every year, depending on what year it is, I'm on board. Take drastic action. Do it. And the border crossings are way down. This may work. But the justification for Mexico can't be used to cover doing the same exact thing against Canada. It doesn't hold. It doesn't make sense. They're a longtime ally, economic partner, mutual beneficiary. You made the USMCA. You know, and you typically put in tariffs, why? To punish people, or you put in tariffs to protect an industry like the steel and aluminum tariffs, or to create an equal playing field like with other countries that are unfairly closed their markets to us. What is the justification for the tariffs against Canada? I don't see it, and the ones that are being given don't make any sense. So then you have to resort to, well, what's he really trying to do? Empire America. I'm open to another explanation. I don't have it. 623 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The Studer Community Institute, with many others, is dedicated to creating America's first early learning city right here in Pensacola. To do that, Rishi and I built the United States' first early learning sensory garden right at the corner of Bailing Street and Main Street. Yep, right by the Brew Through. Bring your child. Not only will they have fun, but they'll also learn a lot. And while you're there, you can have a coffee or a smoothie or a bite to eat. So please, bring your child down to the Brew Through to the Early Learning Sensory Garden. Thank you.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. It's Sunbelt Basketball Championship Week in Pensacola at the Bay Center. Enjoy the Fan Fest, cheer teams, and top college games. See visitpensacola.com for the schedule and info. The Pensacola Little Theater's presentation of The Play That Goes Wrong begins Friday night and goes through next week. See PensacolaLittleTheater.com for dates, times, and tickets. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You guys want to go see a dead body?
What is life? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more.
Baby, don't hurt. But Andrew, I thought you said you thought it was a great State of the Union or Jonah Dre. It was. But today, you're, like, criticizing him for the... And? What? I feel like... I mean, I ought to just have a pre-recorded... Like, I can just play the explanation. You've got to be in a place where if a person does a good thing, you praise them for it. And when they do a bad thing, you criticize them for it. And you've got to be honest in both directions, as honest as you possibly can be. That's literally the job. And not just my job, but your job, too. The problem is... For most people, it's a very common psychological characteristic that we can't see the flaws of the people we want to be on the side of, and we can't see the virtues of the people that we want to oppose. You've got to have both. That's essential. And then you have to make hard decisions about, well, you know, somebody's 70% right, 30% wrong. Is that good enough for me? You know, like that kind of stuff. But that's real life. And it's, you know, it's certainly true with Trump. 437-1620, John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. Still no accidents. Rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Not seeing any delays right now to let you know about. So good news on that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a case of the measles was reported at a high school in South Florida in Miami-Dade County. Contact tracing is underway there. Officials say it's better to vaccinate to prevent rather than in response to an outbreak.
So measles is a highly contagious disease. It's actually one of the most contagious infectious diseases, much more so than the flu or COVID.
That's FIU infectious disease expert Dr. Mary Jo Trepka. Of course, all this after that big outbreak in Texas, over 150 cases there, and one young person passed away as a result of that.
Yeah, the infection rate, the R-naught of measles is so high. Like, it's amazing. If you actually compare it with other things, the flu is around 2. Like, somebody gets it, 2 people are going to get it. Okay? COVID, before the vaccine, is around 3. Okay? Which, these are high numbers, by the way. That's very, very contagious. Okay? HIV and SARS is 4. Chickenpox is 12, so one person gets it, 12 people get it, and that's an astronomically high number, okay? Mumps is 16, measles is 18. One person gets it, 18, yeah. 18 people get it. It's extraordinarily contagious. Go ahead, David.
Well, the Pentagon has now signed an AI deal for military planning and operations. This program called ThunderForge will use startup scale AI to make the decision-making process faster.
I can't.
I don't know.
ThunderForge? Yeah.
I don't even
know. Is that a military AI or a porno? What are you talking about?
it sounds like the military is going to be planning their strategy on one of those ridiculous phone apps or something.
Shall we play a game?
Oh. a flaming
Shall
hot
we play
Cheeto.
ThunderForge?
A flaming hot Cheeto shaped like a Pokemon apparently sold at auction for $88,000, Andrew. Is this going to be framed in your home or
no? I don't get the food shaped like things attraction. I just don't understand.
Well, this one was shaped like Are you familiar with the Pokemons, the various?
I mean, yeah, I played Pokemon Go when it was exciting for about a week. Go on.
Well, you may have to correct me because I don't know. Charizard. Mm-hmm. Okay. The bidding war apparently got pretty heated.
All right, David, for the flaming hot Cheeto. Which, by the way, have you tried any of the alternate flavors of Cheetos, like the Flamin' Hot or the Jalapeno or the Buffalo?
I like the Flamin' Hot. Yeah.
Flamin' Hot is really good.
It really is. Yeah.
Really is good. Buffalo and Jalapeno are okay. But the Flaming Hot is like more. And then when you can't taste anything anymore, then you advance to the Takis. do you do Takis in your house?
Yeah, we like Takis.
My boys can't.
It's a Taki house.
They can never get enough of the Takis. You know, Dad, it burns. Give me more. Like, that's, you know, that's kind of the idea. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, man. Yeah, no, let the Whopper run it. Everything will be fine. Thunderforge. Come on. You can't. It's got to be fake. Nope. Nobody'd fake something that. There we go. All right. So let's see. We've got the Sunbelt Conference is going on now. You can be listening, and we'll be giving away tickets to the Sunbelt Conference in the morning and in the afternoon. So pay attention for that.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump issuing a final warning to Hamas on Truth Social, saying release all the hostages now or it's over for you. New Jersey Congressman Jeff Van Drew on Fox.
We're dealing with the face of evil, that we have to be strong, and that they better release these hostages and these bodies immediately, or if not, there's going to be hell to pay.
Hamas brushing off the threat, saying it will only free the hostages in exchange for a lasting ceasefire in Gaza, a tariff exception.
President Trump granting U.S. automakers a month-long exemption from tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada. The decision came after Trump spoke to the leaders of Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis. According to the White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, President Trump told them they should shift production to the U.S., where they will pay no tariff.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 45 degrees. It is sunny and a beautiful morning here in Pensacola. One person died after being hit by a vehicle on Highway 98 near the Perdido Bay Emergency Room facility last night. It happened about 9 p.m. FHP says the pedestrian was walking in the middle of the roadway and was hit from behind by a vehicle that didn't see them in the road. The victim was identified as a 42-year-old man from Flomaton, Alabama. The man was evaluated by EMS crews at the scene and pronounced dead. A Pensacola man is now charged in a fatal drive-by shooting at a home on M and West Gonzalez from last summer. Police said the victim was sitting on his front porch when he was shot in the head. That happened June 20th of last year. 22-year-old Tyree Malik Baldwin was arrested this week on Tuesday. Investigators say he had subleased the SUV that was involved in the shooting and was identified by a voice expert on a recorded conversation discussing the shooting. Baldwin's now being held at the Escambia jail. He's denied involvement in the killing. Nobody else has been arrested initially, though police did say at least two people were involved. Pensacola city officials say they're still working on getting a warning system installed to stop truck strikes on the graffiti bridge. So far, that's proven to be a complex issue with a lot of layers. So,
you know, anything that's been built in the last, 30, 40 years, wouldn't even have this issue, right? So I guess it makes sense in a way, but that's why it's been just layer after layer of what system goes in, where does it go on the curb? Is it physical or is it a laser system? Is it and then where can we put the poles in the ground because we need that soil from the state to give them to give it to us? So it's a complicated mess.
And that's Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. He says a system will end up being installed, and it will likely be the first of its kind in the state. Last week, damage was found on the bridge from a recent truck strike. Reeves says many folks contacted the city to see what repairs were being done, but it's not the city's bridge to fix. Well, the campground at Fort Pickens on the in the Gulf Islands National Seashore reopens today. This is after a brief closure here earlier this week due to the severe weather that moved through our area. The day-use areas did reopen yesterday. Officials with Florida's property insurance companies may find themselves facing some tough questions from state lawmakers soon. This comes after the release of a report that indicated companies were funneling billions of dollars in profits to affiliate companies and shareholders while telling state officials that they needed to increase rates because they were struggling financially.
We know from the stories that we hear in districts that were ravaged by hurricanes, that were ravaged by flooding, that people are not getting what they need from their property insurance companies.
And that's House Minority Leader Fentrese Driscoll. The Banking and Insurance Subcommittee is looking into that report. They could be subpoenaing witnesses as necessary. A law passed by the Florida legislature to ban mRNA vaccine mandates in the state is set to expire in June. Governor DeSantis wants lawmakers to pass an extension.
Well, I'm here as governor endorsing making these protections permanent. You should not be forced to take an mRNA shot.
DeSantis says if the law is allowed to sunset, schools and private businesses could resume vaccine mandates. The governor also wants lawmakers to pass a patient's bill of rights, which would ban doctors from refusing treatment based on vaccination status. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic.
Brought to you by Lear Capital. Our financial system is cracking under pressure. Your retirement is at risk. Take control now. Lear Capital is offering a free Sky High Silver Report and Precious Metals IRA Guide at betternestegg.com. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly this morning. Not seeing any backups, not even on 98. So good news on that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will see a nice sunny day today with temperatures near 68 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 46. On Thursday, plenty of sunshine with a high near 62. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 48. Keeping some clouds around on Friday with a high near 67. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 61. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. It is right now 43 degrees in Pensacola. It's 42 in Gulf Breeze, and we've got 44 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Wall Street Journal reports Shell is exploring a potential sale of its chemicals assets in Europe and the U.S. The process is in the early stages and is part of Shell's strategic review of its chemicals operations. No final decisions on whether to sell have been made. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said he is unwilling to lift Canada's retaliatory tariffs on the U.S. if President Trump leaves any U.S. tariffs on Canada. That's according to the Associated Press. Other Canadian officials publicly echoed Trudeau's position. Treasury yields moved higher this morning as investors breathed a sigh of relief over the potential for tariff exemptions and awaited key jobs data. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield climbed over 4 basis points to 4.3071%. Futures are sharply lower amid President Trump's tariff dispute. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 485, the NASDAQ up 267, the S&P 500 up 64. That's your money now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Have you recently been involved in a car wreck? Well, if so, we can help.
That's right. At Frank Buys Junk Cars, we buy junk cars in any condition. Wreck, crash, smash, bash, on fire, put out. Frank Buys Junk Cars. Call today. Get paid today.
Frank got me $400 for my junk car.
Buys Junk Cars. Frank Buys Junk Cars.
850-525-2035. Frank Buys Junk Cars.
What do you want in a job? What if this job had great benefits and uncapped income? What if this job was right here in town, working for award-winning radio stations? What if this job had an opening right now as a marketing consultant working with local businesses? What if this job, you occasionally get to listen to one of country music's rising stars or meet a famous TV star or athlete in the office? If you're looking for a job like this and have sales experience, then hurry up and send your resume to hr@newsradio1620.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
The fact of the matter is, on January 29th, we got something on WEAR that says, Northwest Florida schools brace down for ICE raids. And then in the third paragraph of that, it just says, there's no word from the school district. I mean, students and parents can see this. Teachers can see this. This is our local news, right? This is where we're supposed to get our current information. But we don't have anything from the direct word of the mouth.
So this was the Escambia County School Board meeting a week or two ago, something like that. And, you know, some of the stuff that they were talking about got big attention. This didn't in the public forum. And I thought it was very interesting. And I see now Channel 3 is actually doing a story, and it was in the, you know, some of the Florida statewide news yesterday about this kind of protest movement against the failure to guide teachers about what they're supposed to do if ICE shows up at the school and what the rights, responsibilities, what the law is, and it's a problem. And the problem, as Layla Holliday, as the person who was speaking there, is nobody knows what they're supposed to do, and the school board is not issuing any guidance.
Students are talking about deportation and ICE like it's a school shooting. This is the reality of our classrooms. They're saying, who's going to come in here? Who's going to take us? Are they bringing big guns? What are our teachers going to do? Are our teachers going to put... Those are real conversations that are happening, and teachers are not equipped with the adequate response. So I do request on behalf of myself, my fellow teachers, and my students that teachers and faculty staff are prepared with adequate communication about the policy to protect all of our students. Thank you.
Produce a document. Give us a one sheet. These are the circumstances where ICE can. These are the circumstances where ICE cannot. This is what has to happen if they do. This is what you are allowed to do and allowed not allowed to do. I mean, just guidance for the students, or for the teachers, for the students, for the principals, so that the teachers can tell the students, here's what's going on. I mean, you know, uncertainty always breeds fear and anxiety. Clarity tends to fight against those things. Now, sometimes the clarity is of a bad thing, but at least you have clarity, and there's a certain level of comfort that comes from actually knowing, for example, what the law is. Hirozo Alfonso.
I and many other community members and teachers in this room are here to ask that this board issue guidelines to all Escambia County schools that will protect this district's immigrant students from ICE and law enforcement.
Just send information. Now, this person, I think, is not a teacher, if I remember correctly. I think this person was more of a local activist, I think working on transgender stuff, but it doesn't matter. When somebody says something that's right, it doesn't matter anything else they're doing. It just means that they're right.
We ask that these guidelines, these written guidelines, provide law enforcement or prevent law enforcement from entering our schools without a valid court-issued warrant. I emphasize valid because there have been cases where these warrants are invalid. They're not signed by a judge. They have the wrong date on them. They don't have the student or the adult's correct name on them. These are invalid warrants that ICE and other law enforcement officers cannot use. again, they're invalid. So if there is no valid warrant, both the student and the parent do not they are not required to speak to them, to be questioned by them, or have their person or property searched by ICE or law enforcement.
Yeah, and if this is a problem in the schools that the kids are worried about and the teachers don't know what to do, and, you know, it may not be happening very often, but teachers just want guidance. It shouldn't be that hard to provide them with accurate guidance about what they are and are not obligated or allowed to do.
I'm here to add my voice to the many others to express our concern and to ask this board to issue urgently necessary and reasonable guidance to school employees that they should not allow ICE to enter our schools without a warrant. There's a lot of confusion over what the law requires of teachers and administrators on this issue, and it's the responsibility of this body to make it clear that in Escambia County, in accordance with the law and with the mission statement read at the beginning of this very meeting, all students have equal access to quality education. The law does not require school employees to allow ICE onto our campuses without a warrant, and that needs to be clarified to our teachers, and much more importantly, to our students and to their families who put their trust in you all and in our Escambia County schools.
That's Harper Cummings, a teacher and a parent. Last one, this is Rosetta Rosen.
It is about the importance of a district policy with guidelines for all employees concerning the immigration and custom enforcement agents coming into our schools. Administrators were instructed on what to do, but that information was not passed down to staff. I have gotten calls, I've spoken to teachers at different schools that I have visited, as well as in some of my meetings with my site leaders, and I have asked them, what have they been told or have they been told about what to do if ICE agents come to their school? And the answer has been no.
This is not good. And the WAR story correctly reports that so far there's been no guidance issued by the Escambia County School Board or the superintendents, as far as I know, unless they did it yesterday. And they should. They definitely should. This, you know, a lot of times in these meetings, people show up and they complain about something or they ask for something. And, you know, the Escambia County School Board is one where they don't engage back with the citizens very much. And I always think that's a mistake. I really favor the engage with them as much as you reasonably can. In fact, Santa Rosa County recently, the county commission, Carrie Smith, has introduced a very interesting dynamic. You have public forum, and remember, Santa Rosa County is often very loud, obnoxious public forum historically, and people making all kinds of allegations and statements. And instead of responding to each one, which was a real problem previously, now, and then ignoring them entirely and not saying anything back, that's also a problem. So now, after the public forum, each commissioner has up to 3 minutes to address things that they heard in the public forum and to provide information or context or guidance or, you know, talk to this person. I think that's a really smart answer. It would have been really nice for them to say, or for the superintendent or the lawyer, you know, Ms. Odom, to just say, okay, we'll put something together for you. Or here's what the law, I mean, anything would have, but they didn't. And I think that's a failure of communication. 647 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Whatever you might think about the law itself, these teachers, administrators, and parents are just asking for clear guidance. Give them the clear guidance. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about, but if you're traveling on 98 eastbound just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge, expect about a 7 to 10 minute delay through that construction zone and congestion traffic. Other than that, I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you are considering buying or selling a home, or you just have questions, or even maybe it's kind of like dream stuff, like for you, buying a beach home is something you've always wanted to be able to do, whether it's a, you know, to relocate to the beach, or whether you want a second home that maybe you're going to rent some of the time, you know, Airbnb it or whatever, maybe you're going to live at whatever, and you kind of wonder what that'll take. Call Christina Leavenworth and ask. She's loves talking to people for the first time and giving them her expertise about real estate. And, you know, because what she was talking about on Pep Talk the other day was, look, when it comes to any home, you know, it's location, condition, and price. And you get two, not three, right? You can't control all three. You pick two, it's going to determine the other one, most likely. Well, on the beach, what does it take? I mean, does it take a million? Does it take half a million? Does it take 200,000? Well, I don't know. Ask her. You know, if you're willing to sacrifice on condition and location, maybe you can get a sweet, you know, deal. Maybe. And she'll have a good answer for it because she knows the market. They sell a lot of homes every year, and she can really help you understand that or any other real estate-related question. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily. Visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Is your child getting the personalized attention they need to excel in math? Mathnasium has a solution for students of all skill levels. They assess each child's strengths and weaknesses, creating a customized learning plan. The Mathnasium method gives them the critical thinking skills they need to thrive, with the option to attend face-to-face online sessions or come to one of their 1,000 neighborhood learning centers. Mathnasium, Pensacola, Destin, and Niceville. Mathnasium, changing lives through math. Learn more at mathnasium.com.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What's that perfume?
It's the ocean.
That's mine. That's my smell.
.652 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. What do you mean we need guidance so that you can protect students or parents from ICE? If you're not breaking the law, you don't have to worry about the police. Oh, dear friends. Somebody comes to your door and says, let me in, I need to search the premises. What do you say? What's your warrant? Right? Because if you let them in, search incident, right? Even normal law-abiding citizens don't just let the police come into their homes without justification. So the question is not whether they're breaking the law or not. Not really. The question is, what does the law allow or prevent? And the law is fairly particular about this. If they come in without a search warrant, they can't go questioning them over these immigration questions. If they do come with a properly executed search warrant, then they can. But do the teachers and students and parents, does anybody know that? Well, that's what they were raising as an issue. Somebody else says, it seems to me like the local news source is just generating fear and anxiety. Okay, fair question. To me, it seems like the fear and anxiety already exist, and these teachers are asking for the school board to issue clarity in a document that would alleviate the anxiety, which I think is a reasonable thing for them to ask. That's why I'm focusing on it. Let's see, 653 on News Radio 92.3. And I don't know how frequently this is happening in our local area. You know, is this a... But, I mean, I'm sure it's happening some, right? And, again, if you can issue a policy, then you can solve for some. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, China says that it's prepared to fight any type of war with the U.S. After President Trump enacted more tariffs on Beijing this week, the Chinese embassy in the U.S. posted on X, quote, if war is what the U.S. wants, be it a tariff war, trade war, or any other type of war, we're ready to fight till the end. The Supreme Court says the government doesn't need to grant veterans the benefit of the doubt when it comes to approving disability benefits. The court ruled 7-2 Wednesday that the Veterans Court doesn't have to start from the beginning to review evidence when looking at a benefits denial as a result of a close call. The court can only reverse a denial for a clear error. And House Speaker Mike Johnson's chief of staff is being hit with a DUI charge. Hayden Haynes, a powerful aide on Capitol Hill, was arrested for DUI after the joint address to Congress on Tuesday night. Police say he backed his car into a Capitol vehicle around midnight.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:54 on News Radio 92.3. You know, we haven't talked at all about today. The federal news, there's so much coming out every single day that it's hard to cover. I mean, it really is hard to cover it all. But things we haven't talked about is that firings have already begun at the Pentagon. We're a military town. We kind of care about this stuff. And at the Pentagon, not necessarily only in D.C., right? Military.com reports civilian workers in at least four organizations, the Defense Health Agency, Defense Logistics Agency, the Navy, and the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences have already been told that they're fired. We don't know how many. Nobody's quite giving clarity of answers to any of the inquiries that have been made. But, you know, one of the things that doesn't get talked about very much in all of this is if you fire people from the federal government, you have a much higher chance of firing what demographic? This is your Jeopardy question for the day. I'm not giving it as a statement. You have to ask a question. But that's your question for the day. What demographic has the highest representation in the workforce for the federal government? Therefore, if you start firing federal workforce, who are you getting rid of the most? Veterans and military spouses. Very, very high percentages that they work for the federal government. Veterans make up about a third of the federal workforce. 27% of military spouses have jobs for federal, state, or local governments. So if you start cutting fat from the federal government, you're harming veterans. Now, that doesn't make it wrong or right. It's just a fact. So a lot of veterans are losing jobs in all of this. And the Defense Health Agency, that's healthcare, right? And the VA is now saying they're going to fire or non-renew 80,000 people out of their, you know, they're going to go back to the pre-PACT Act, which is the, like, burn pit stuff from 2022, to 400,000 people. Now, Doug Collins, who is a veteran, he's like 19 or 20 years in the reserves, I think. You know, he was a chaplain, okay? But, you know, that's a former representative and a lawyer and all that. They're saying that this is going to make for more efficiency and better service. Does firing of 15 to 20% of your workforce make you better at customer service? We'll talk about that more in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still no accidents to report to you right now, but we're seeing some delays if you're headed from downtown Milton into East Milton going eastbound. Also 98 eastbound, still seeing some delays just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge. About a 7 to 10 minute delay to expect there. I-10, I-110 are actually looking really good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Yeah, so this is the argument that they're making is that, again, if you're going to do these broad, quick, chainsaw, flamethrower kinds of cuts, you know, are you going to catch only bad, lazy, incompetent people in them? Well, no, of course not. And if you're getting rid of 80,000 workers at the VA, you know, was the VA suffering from too much efficiency before? You know, like, this is real life application for people. Now, it could be. Like, I don't think Doug Collins is a bad guy. I think he wants to do what's right for veterans, just like I think Pete Hegseth wants to do what's right for members of the military. You know, getting rid of folks at the DHA, getting rid of folks at the VA, is it possible that that is actually going to wind up being an improvement to efficiency of services in the end? It's possible. Just like it's, I suppose, theoretically possible that you could fire people from the IRS and you'll actually have better enforcement, better collection, and better customer service. But on the surface, it doesn't seem likely. It doesn't seem like firing waiters means you increase your ability to serve customers. It doesn't seem like firing cooks means that you can have better and more voluminous food output. So if we're getting rid of tens of thousands of workers from the Veterans Affairs Administration or from Defense Health Agency or from the IRS or, you know, pick it. It doesn't seem like any of those organizations are going to then be able to provide better service. It seems like they're going to provide worse service. it's possible there's a slice of this I don't understand and don't see. I'm just saying you've got to explain it. You know, the presumption here is that that's a bad approach. And again, particularly we're talking about veterans. How many veterans live here? How many members of the military live here? This is affecting, you know, our people, right? So pay attention.